Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I'm very excited to bring back a familiar guest from a few years ago, R. Christian Minson. Christian's had quite a history being a monk, doing much consciousness work, and also getting involved in doing breath work, the kind of breath work that can flip you and I out of our subconscious patterns. I'll let him tell you more about it. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I'm
Multiple
so glad.
Times, in fact.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear about the evolution of your work and what you're learning as you do this amazing breath work. Or why don't you explain to people what it's like?
What's like?
Your
my
breath,
life or the breath work?
Well, either or, but breath work probably.
Yeah, that's like trying to explain what an orange tastes like to somebody who's never tasted it before, you know. The best way, you know, I can explain it is the breath carries prana, life force energy. As we bring more of that into our body, that activates that physical field and allows our emotional body to activate, our spiritual body to activate, and they come more in alignment with this pranic energy, which is sort of the energy of creation itself. So the long and short, the more we can breathe this energy in, the more that energy has a chance to affect change and transformation in our body, heart, mind, and soul. And that's the magic of it. And it's as simple as, you know, learning how to breathe properly.
Well, I'll get you to give us a sample in a little while. I was wondering also about, there's so much talk these days about a number of things. One is changing our way of thought through using, for example, ayahuasca. Another thing I wanted to talk about was ancestral patternings and how to step out of those. And I'm talking to a lot of different people, and I know you have some tools that could help us all. But there's so much about getting out of the DNA or the recordings of our karma and that sort of thing. I'm hearing over and over that we can step out of a lot of those edicts that come from the past in terms of our behavior. What do you think of that? That's a broad spectrum, but they're all linked to the same thing.
They are all interlinked because we're, you know, really talking about the subject of transformation, of evolution of our life and our consciousness. And, you know, the major anchor that keeps us from moving forward in life is these ancestral patterns, things that have happened to us, in, or, you know, not even happened to us, but that have happened to our lineage. And that can be a family lineage. It can be a gender lineage. It can be a country lineage, you know, any kind of pathway that you've sort of been associated with and inherited that energy has some effect on you. And, you know, it's fascinating for your own liberation, but I think people are finding as you can liberate that energy yourself, you actually heal those generations in the past and supposedly in the future as well. So,
and you think breath work can do that?
Yeah. Now you mentioned ayahuasca, and it's nice because you know, since we've last talked, you know, I've been a breath work, transformational breath trainer and facilitator of the work for now 13 years. In fact, this January, January 1st, 2006, I opened my doors for business and. So I've been at it ever since, but for the last 2.5 years, I've been the director of the breathwork program at Rhythmia Life Advancement Center, which is located in Guanacaste, Costa Rica, and it's quickly becoming a phenomenon because its main focus is twofold, plant medicine and breathwork, and plant medicine is that ayahuasca you were talking about. And the great thing is that why I love being here is because the plant medicine is getting a lot of attention these days as it's a good quick dive into your consciousness and into these places where you can start to interact with these ancestral patterns. But the breath work but juxtaposed, the breathwork juxtaposed next to the ayahuasca, people are seeing that they can get the same kind of experience and the same kind of benefit from the breathwork that they can from the plant medicine. So I find that really exciting because I'm an advocate of both. But if you have to seek out, a shaman and a place and somebody who's got the supply to do a plant medicine ceremony, you can do a breath ceremony just, sitting on your couch essentially. And so it offers a lot more accessibility to helping you get beyond those patterns.
Wow, that's really encouraging, eh? Well, what I mean is it's more portable. More people can try it no matter what, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But can you give us a little sample of a breath just to give us a foundation of feeling?
So what I like about the way that I teach the breathwork is really to understand that we're getting into a pattern of breathing that's going to help take you into deeper states that are going to allow emotional release, spiritual connection, and all that. But the pattern of the breath itself is modeled that you could work that pattern in every breath you take. In other words, it's modeling a healthy breath for you to habitualize yourself to. And if we could actually breathe habitually, better, a whole host of our issues, especially stress and anxiety issues, would pretty much evaporate. So the breath itself, I describe very succinctly with three words: full, free, and flow. So your breath should be full, free, and flowing or fluid. So full breath is from the belly all the way up into the chest. We want to make sure the belly expands and contracts on each inhale and exhale, so that we're really using the diaphragm, our breathing muscle. And then we bring it all the way up to the top of our chest. Free means relaxed. It should be effortless. So you can watch people breathe and you can see how much muscular effort they put into it. And you can watch other people breathe and they fill up, but their body moves only to the degree that the volume of air is increasing in their body versus their muscles really, actively trying to control the breath process.
They don't
and then
tense
flow.
Up.
Pardon me?
They don't tense up against it, yeah.
Exactly. Tense or a lot of people will, especially if you're lying on the ground, breathing this process will arch their back. It's like thinking you can get more air, more result if you put more effort into it, but really, you're just expending more energy. And that's one of the patterns. What's one of the great things is that with breath work, you can watch how somebody breathes and you can tell a lot about, what patterns are affecting their lives. And, you can even start to reverse those patterns. But that's a whole other topic of breath analysis and breath assessment. But then the final part is flow. So the breath should flow, meaning ideally it's a rhythmic connected breath. We're not pausing in this process. So it's really important to keep that breath moving, not even pausing for a short period of time, either at the top or the bottom. And it's important to keep it rhythmic if you can, like fairly consistent. And it's actually the rhythm of the breath that induces all sorts of physiological changes like dropping your stress levels, reducing your heart rate, all those kinds of things. More so than taking deep breaths or taking slow breaths, it's really taking rhythmic breaths. And you put all that together and then you've got the breath. So to demonstrate it over the airwaves here, full, free, and flow.
And it gets into a pattern and it has its own rhythm. Is that right? That's how I felt it.
Yeah. Well, here, let me go ahead and demonstrate it here. I mean, everybody's rhythm is going to be slightly different, but you know, it should be in the ballpark of, you know. So I don't know if that comes through the, you know, the electronics, but it's an because breathing an easy breath, you shouldn't make a lot of sound. If you're
right.
making a lot of sound, it's an indication you're putting more effort into it. There's more friction, which is an indication of effort. So that's the key, easeful. So it's relaxed. Try to take this full inhale. The exhale, if you heard, was kind of, it's a letting go. It's not forced. It's not controlled. You're not trying to get rid of every last bit of air. You're just letting it go. And then you're taking that inhale again. And ideally you heard how the breath was connected, that there wasn't any pausing going on. As soon as the exhale happened, a new inhale came in. As soon as the inhale was finished, it were immediately into the exhale.
It seems, so, it seems doing, easy. Is it quite a practice?
Well, it's, you know, like all profound things in life, not all, but what I found, the most profound things in life are incredibly easy, or they're incredibly simple. Let's put it that way. They're not always easy. They're, you know, meditation. I was a monk for 10 years of my life in the meditative order, and you know, meditation would appear to be the simplest thing on the planet. You're apparently just sitting there, right? But how easy it is to get into that state, you know, is another story. So with the breath work, the same. It's a simple process. I mean, this is, like I said, mimicking more of a natural, healthy breath. You watch babies breathe, who haven't experienced a lot of trauma yet, and you just watch them breathe and they're sleeping or whatever, or animals often, they'll breathe in this kind of pattern. And it's because it's natural, it's healthy. And why we don't do it now is because we've allowed traumas in our lives to modify the way that we breathe, and or it modifies the way we respond to life. Our trauma modifies the way we respond to life, and that shows up physiologically in how we breathe as one of the elements there. So the good news is that when we recognize that, we can actually modify the way we breathe to start to induce feelings or release old traumas and experiences, so that we can start to feel better or more relaxed. Or,
well, how long would you start breathing, or how long would you do breathing in order to aim for some real results in your healing and your release of self from the old ways?
How long? For the rest of your life.
Well, how long per session do you do it? Like, what are you saying? Two things. One is, are you incorporating it into a way of breathing all the time, or are you setting up breathing sessions for people to, you know, achieve a healing or something?
Both, really. But, you know, where people typically focus, at least at first, is in the sessions, you know. The sessions are there to help you learn how to care for yourself. You know, basically what happens is we don't know what we're doing. We stuff our feelings. We experience traumas. Now we come to a breath session, and a facilitator, an expert, helps you to dredge up all that old energy and expunge it or purge it, you know, integrate that energy. And then, what you're learning long-term is how to manage that energy in real time so that you don't have to go, you know, you don't have to get this buildup, go to an expert, get it released, and then go back, you know, into your life. You're actually learning how to deal with life in real time when a trigger comes up, when a strong emotion overtakes you or whatever, that, you know, how to handle it there on the spot or there in the close, you know, time proximity to the event, by learning how to to breathe more fluidly and like this, then
I think that should take quite a bit of practice, should it?
Well, that, yeah. So, you know, so to answer your question, a session would typically go an hour, an hour's worth of breathing. My private sessions and my sessions by Skype now I do are 2 hour sessions, you know, coaching on either end of the breath work couched in between. And that is the process for integrating the things that we talk about in the front end of the session. And that kind of session, typically, you know, average person, ideally we do it once a week. You know, if you're really in an intensive, intensive program, maybe twice a week. I offer, we were talking about earlier, I offer a 6-day seminar in the breath work that, you know, we breathe twice a day over the course of 6 days and breathe in this technique. And it really goes deep, you know, peeling off layer after layer of our energetic onion, so to speak, so we can let the core light of our being start to shine more, and people come out of that week just radiant and glowing. So,
do you have any stories? It's making me yawn. I think it's because when we did that breathing, I went into a really deep place.
Yeah, well, yawning's a good sign. Yawning's an indication that your body wants more oxygen. And oftentimes when people start doing this technique, you're like, "Why aren't I getting more oxygen?" And yes, you are. But your body is like triggered then and says, "Wow, I want more of this." This is, which just goes to show how oxygen starved we are. Typically people, you know, I've seen in my practice for 13 years, people come in, we're breathing averagely about 20% of the capacity. So when we talk about full free flow and that full part, we're trying to, you know, if you're unconsciously breathing only 20% capacity, you know, you're not fueling your body cells with the vital catalyst of oxygen that's necessary for all life functions. So we're looking at, you know, increasing that to 60, 70, 80, ideally 90% of your full capacity with every breath you take. And then you're so much more vitalized and energized.
I find it really, really inspiring. Also, you probably have some healing stories. Do people come to you with sort of dire conditions or that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, I mean,
I should think it would be very important in psychological problems.
Yeah, psychological, really emotional. I'd say the largest sector of people who would, you know, come to me would be people who are dealing with, you know, emotional issues, old trauma, you know, repression, suppressions, things that they haven't been able to get over, seeing themselves react a lot or heightened emotional states or dead emotional states, you know, both the extremes. We're trying to get into a nice fluid flowing relationship with our emotions. And then people who like are really, you know, there's usually a crossover that and also sort of a spiritual edge to it, that through this breath work, as I said, the pranic energy, the energy of life force energy itself is activates in your system, which aligns your consciousness a little bit more. Your intuition seems to come online, and people experience more downloads, more creative inspirations can occur, a real sense of purpose, belonging. People often just get an awareness of what they need to be doing, either next or long term, and sense of connection ultimately to yourself, to others around you, and ultimately to the creator or the source of all this, in whatever fashion you perceive that.
Well, what about with something like, and I have experienced some of that, and also I really trust what you're saying, But I want to throw in another question, which is, what about a physical debilitation, maybe even a cancer, a thyroid problem, or that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I do a whole course on cancer, you know, it's a class. There is a class of disease called anaerobic diseases.
Okay.
Anaerobic meaning without oxygen. So these diseases thrive in a non-oxygenated place.
Oh, wow.
So cancer can thrive where oxygen is absent. And Dr. Otto Warburg, 1936, I believe, won the Nobel Prize in Medicine, showing that when oxygen was introduced to a cancerous area, that the cancer stopped growing and even potentially showed signs of remission.
Is he the one
So,
that set up all those hyperbaric rooms in the old days?
that I don't know. I can't answer that. But the point here is that now put two and two get together. What I just said earlier, we breathe at 20% of our capacity as a people as a whole. Cancer thrives where there's no oxygen. So why is cancer the number one disease out there right now? Because we're, you know, one major contributing factor is we're not providing our bodies enough oxygen to keep cancer at bay. You see, if you're breathing regularly at more like 80 or 90% of your capacity, your body is continually filled with oxygen that naturally keeps cancer from wanting to even start. And so to me, the best preventative measure is breathing, deep breathwork style breathing. And the founder of the transformational breath, Judith Kravitz, actually her story was she had a tumor in her throat and was guided to heal herself holistically, and breathwork was her main tool at the time. This is when she's just getting into it, not even teaching it yet. And started using it, and in a number of months, was putting lotion on her body and went to her neck, and the tumor had disappeared. So, there's even evidence that it has the capability of helping us to reverse a cancerous condition. So, my main philosophy is that the body is a very resilient organism. It's always seeking to keep itself in optimal health, homeostasis, as they call it. And if you give it the proper elements to do that, it does it very well. And oxygen is one of the foundational elements. It's the, you know, we need a few kinds of nutrients, proteins, fats, vitamins, minerals, all that. We need fluid, water to keep the system, sloshy. But we need oxygen to activate the whole system. And we need it, we need it regularly and we need it abundantly. So if we can just give our body that oxygen, it operates, every cell operates better with oxygen. And if you can provide that oxygen to the cell, then your immune system cells start fighting disease better.
Wow. So I
Your
see that and prana. Prana also works like that too, doesn't it?
right. Well, what whenever I say oxygen, I'm essentially I equate the two, prana and oxygen. At the physical level, a scientist would say oxygen's doing this. At a more metaphysical level or spiritual scientist level, we're saying the prana or that life force energy essentially imbued in the oxygen itself is sort of the ultimately the activating agent. So
So it's your whole self really getting to work here.
exactly. And that's again why I love the breath work so much. If there's any tool out there that anybody would ever use, or you're on a desert island, you only get to use one, it's you know, the breath, because it's the confluence of our physical being, our emotional being, and our spiritual being. And by working with it, we can work all those dimensions of ourselves into better health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. And I laugh and go, and it's also the subject of many romantic songs. So, so back to going around the corner here a little bit to ayahuasca, I'm going, okay, so what does that do to us and how does that link with the breath and so on? Can you give a little chat about that for us?
Yeah. I mean, ayahuasca is plant medicine. It's a tea created from roots and vines, you know, leaf and vine of particular plants in, typically in Central South America, you know, Hawaii too, different regions of the world, have different variations, but, and it's a natural, it's sort of natural, ceremonial tool for the Central and South Americas, especially, I know, as I'm sitting here in Costa Rica, that their shaman or their spiritual guides would use to help, you know, work out issues either within the tribe or within individuals, to vision, you know, the direction for the people and, you know, a whole host of spiritual rituals. So it's been, you know, in existence for millennia. The idea being, you know, the tradition, as I understand it, you know, is a very earth-based tradition. So they said the gods once roamed the earth and, they chose to leave or they left for whatever reason, you know, before they left, they imbued their wisdom in the plants. And, you know, for humans to continue to be in connection with these gods. So it's, you know, there's a whole study of plants and the different wisdom that can come from them. People go on dietas, they say, where, you know, it's like very restrictive diet and they'll experiment with one plant, that they'll take and allow, you know, the wisdom of that plant to start to speak to them. So, very profound on the deepest level. And, the short of it is, you know, ayahuasca is a psychoactive, plant that, done in a ceremonial context really can help you to do everything we just been talking about, breathwork, release old trauma, come to terms with, you know, who you are, who you become, help you to
your purpose, sort of your purpose
back,
and all that.
Yeah. Get back in alignment with your soul and who you truly are, what your dharma is, as, or your soul's purpose and start to get clarity around that, to really heal your heart, to, you know, bring back in alignment your emotions and your ability to love and, be loved. And so all that, you know, that's affected by the breathwork. And of course your connection to, your spirit. I think it's, popular, especially because it's a quick window into a deeper dimension of you. It's like the window opens up, you can see through it clearly for a few hours and then it closes back
down. Does it actually work on the, I mean, does it change your brain? You know what I'm saying? It goes into a physiological connection, whereas the breathing is a kind of, to me anyway, well, sort of a retraining of how it functions or something.
Well, you know, again, on a physiological level, the same thing's happening. Chemical transactions, chemical communication is happening, you know, at the deepest level of our body and brain chemistry. We're just a, you know, a soup of chemicals, you know, interchanging from one location to another, which creates sensations, which creates awarenesses, which creates thoughts. So the main ingredient in the plant medicine is DMT. DMT is a chemical that's actually produced naturally in the brain It's a chemical that, when released from the brain, it's often released in our dream states. We have like deep awarenesses or epiphanies. So this DMT is a natural chemical. When it, you know, when you ingest it through the plant medicine, it activates those centers in a little stronger fashion. So we really, it sounds like we go into a waking dream state, and that's where the visions, the downloads or understandings come from, where the healings can happen. And then what's interesting though is, you know, to say how is the breathwork any different? Actually, in this movie, DMT, the spirit molecule, one of the scientists in there is talking about how breathing.
What is it called? It's a movie called DMT, the spirit molecule?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And it talks about how breathing, a deeper form of breathing can actually release DMT into the system.
Okay.
So we're effectively doing the same thing. We're creating these chemical transactions that allow then our brain to open to another dimension of perception that usually isn't, it's what I believe always available, but we're usually not conscious of it in our everyday state until we really train ourselves to be that aware.
Wow. Now you've been doing this, I'll go back to breath work for a minute or 12, but you've been doing the breath work for quite a while. Are you finding it continually, I'm assuming you continue to do it. Are you continually opening to greater sense of what self or no self or universe or whatever?
Yes. Well, I would say that is the ultimate practice. You know, I mentioned that I was a monk for 10 years in my life. And, you know, what I really got out of that experience, I was going to go the whole way there, but life and different things sent me in a different direction. But what I realized, the thread of that experience that continues today, is that life is a continuous evolutionary process where we're continually striving to awaken to deeper understandings of who we are, get more in alignment with our higher self, let the ego lead less, you know, let the soul lead more and the ego follow and obey a little more. And, these processes are things that, if you really want the truth, it's a lifelong process.
Right.
If you get to that place, before you die, there's another place to get to, and then there's another place to get to. So it's really, if you get that statement, it's not the destination, but the journey really starts to sink in on a deeper level.
So you're sort of saying that being a monk was really effective to a certain point, but you continued evolving forever thereafter.
Yeah, that we have to. I could have continued to evolve as a monk, but recognized that the mechanism that I was learning as a monk was, the idea of continually engaging in lifestyle practices that would increase my capacity to evolve. And that's, that essentially I've learned is the name of the game for all of us out there, that if you're unhappy, basically it's because something's blocking your evolution, and you're kind of in a holding pattern or a going backwards pattern. So it's, learning how to become more aware and release some of these things that have anchored us down for so long is the first step in the process. And then once we're a little more free to move, so to speak, then we start exploring the deeper dimensions of who we are and start to fulfill, as we say, fulfill our purpose, fulfill our dharma, and, feel more fulfilled which includes happiness and contentment.
Well, tell me this. Now, I want to believe this, Christian. I think that because of I think frequencies have moved up quite a bit, and I think our communications are certainly at our fingertips. Here we are talking Costa Rica to Bellingham, and it's easy. You know, we're able to share knowledge and information, and I keep praying that I want to see that that humanity's collective consciousness can actually boot up quite a bit with all of these wonderful tools like breath work or even ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm. It's happening. I feel like it's happening. I feel like it's got to happen, and it's happening. You know.
I mean, we're all just a part of it.
Yeah, we're an active part of it. We can slow it down, or we can speed it up. As we do our part. And I think everybody's individually responsible for having, you know, getting the most evolution that we can out of our experience, rather than just stagnating or even, regressing. And in that, we're, as we evolve, the vibration of our higher frequency, it starts to influence everything else to pick up. You know, there's a law of entrainment, which I think really ultimately means the strongest frequency, other frequencies will match a stronger frequency, and they'll come into alignment. So if we're, if the planet's vibrating at a low frequency, it tends to drag the energy towards that low frequency. But if the more and more people are vibrating at a higher frequency, that the amplification of that starts to entrain these other frequencies
to rise. Yeah, because I'm thinking this, though. Say you've got a family that's not getting along, but there's this whole consciousness that at least you and I have right now of ancestral patterns and so on. So if the family that was, and this is hypothetical, right? This is off Father Knows Best gone awry. But anyway, if you put all the family in one area and people start to do the breathing, Could that not, that would be sort of a melodramatic way of saying, could we not flip the whole dynamic that could be creating this huge problem in this family? You see what I'm saying? Because families have fallen apart in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that me being a little off the wall here because I like to be futurizing?
Well, what I think the key really is to understanding family trauma and all that to ultimately recognize that everyone is acting on an unconscious desire to receive unconditional love.
That's a good point. Right? Mm-hmm.
And so often the breath work helps you to move to that. So first, you recognize this, and then see as you introspect in your life, recognize that these patterns aren't you, but they've been overlaid onto you, that they come from somewhere else. So, then you want to make a conscious intention to be free from them. So you're directing your energy. Then the breath work comes in, you start using that as a tool to start activating and transforming your energy. So as you breathe, ideally you get in touch with the sensation of unconditional love. So you start, you're whipping up the life force energy, and you're using it to help amplify that unconditional love. Then as you do that, energies start to bubble up, these old patterns, hate, fear, manipulation, darkness are rising. And as they rise to the surface, you allow them to be there. This may be the most difficult part, because as they come up, you start to feel them, and the natural inclination is to push them down or avoid them or numb them or whatever. So in this process, you're allowing them to come to the surface and continuing to breathe into them and letting that breath do the entrainment. The breath is carrying that prana, remember, the highest frequency vibration of us, and it's meeting that lower frequency vibration of these tendencies or these past, you know, ancestral energies, and it's allowing them to finally just dissolve. And as long as it takes, you just hold it there until that energy, it's like a bubble coming to the surface of the water. And when it finally gets to the surface, it pops, and then it's gone.
And in the meantime, while it's happening, you keep breathing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then as the pattern comes up, you offer love into it. You let that energy be present without trying to fix it or change it. You just love it until it dissolves. And so this is, this is essentially, we might consider rewriting your DNA, that you.
That's what I want to do, Christian. I want to rewrite my DNA. Why not, eh? Why not?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. When we realize we're energetic beings and our mind is sort of like the control center of these energies, we learn how to harness it. Electricity existed before we knew how to harness it. Then we learned how to harness it. Now we can utilize it. There's so many energies of our consciousness, that we, it can allow us to, completely do anything we want, including rewrite our DNA. And so our practice, once again, is in this evolutionary process, learning how to harness our energies, how to actually to understand that we have them, understand how to use them, and then, of course, use them properly.
I think that's really marvelous, darling. So you're in Rhythmia now. You're down in Costa Rica. I want you to talk to people about what you're doing. For example, if you're doing a breathing on Skype and you're watching somebody, does that work okay? How does that work?
Yeah, it works amazing. Of course, there's always a question that, is it if you're not there physically? And I even had that question at first because, traditionally breath work, you'd have somebody come to your office and, you set them up and you're there coaching along. But I found it incredibly effective that, being able to, I have people set up in a way that I can observe their breathing with, good detail. And I found that verbally coaching along the way still is able to give them the experience and the transformation they need, even though I'm not physically present and maybe could do more like hands-on body mapping and things. I've been working with a couple clients recently who are just beaming at the results. And, it's been enough to quell my fears that it's any lesser of an experience for people.
Well, also, we know that there's so much about subtle energy and the prana and so on, which is very physical in a way. So you're dealing with it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
exactly.
Making a difference that way. So that's exciting. I mean, it's wonderful. And Rhythmia is what? It's a center for healing and advancement?
Yeah, it's called a Life Advancement Center, Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. It's a center for transforming people's lives, and it's quickly becoming a phenomena. As I said, plant medicine and breathwork are the cornerstones, and people come out of here in droves, transformed. Their lives are better. They're going back into the people from all walks of life, which is very interesting. For breathwork and for Rhythmia, it's people you think would be into this kind of stuff than think people you wouldn't. People from the Midwest, people, whole families come, brothers and sisters, mother and daughter, people as young as 18, which is the lowest we can accept, and people so far as old as 84, CEOs of big companies, celebrities, people who have scraped their last dime to get here. You know, it runs the whole gamut. And what's interesting is when everybody gets here, there's sort of a homogenization. Everybody's here to transform, mm-hmm. to change. Mm-hmm. And that creates an incredible energy. And, you know, that energy works here at Rhythmia with the planets, and it works in my same way in the transformational breath seminars that I teach, you know, that are breathwork oriented. Mm-hmm. Again, the same kind of idea. The program is really designed to help you release these old layers and get in touch with the deeper sense of who you are. And the tools used are just, you know, interchangeable, basically.
Wow. I'm really impressed with your rapport between the, for example, the plant medicine and the breathing, the breath work. I really like that. That's that helps bridge a gap for a lot of people right there. Right.
Yeah. It's a great way. You know, I mean, breath work, if people are interested in plant medicine, but a little, still uncertain about it, breath work's a great way to start. Cause you're going to get similar experiences and you're not as quote unquote committed. Like when you take plant medicine, that, you know, you go along for the journey as long as it's in your system. Mm-hmm. The breath work, you know, it's an hour experience, and you can even pull the plug by stopping the process, which I don't recommend, but you know, it gives a certain amount of security and safety to people who are trying things out for the first time. And that may get you comfortable enough to try plant medicine. Mm-hmm. Other people just can't do plant medicine or are opposed to it for whatever reasons in their own mind. And so breathwork really is the best alternative. And to me, it's actually, you know, everything else is actually approximating breathwork. Mm-hmm. Breathwork is our God-given tool for transformation.
It's literally inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just think, as you breathe in, you are inspiring. That is the act of inspiration. And when you feel inspired, it's because it's doing the same thing. You're activating the life force in you to perceive things from your higher self level, and that naturally feels inspired.
Wow. So you're in an inspirational haven. I like that the place you're working in right now doing your breath work is called Rhythmia. That's sort of like getting in sync with all the frequencies, is it? What's the Rhythmia stand for?
That I wouldn't be able to tell you. You know, if there's a deeper thing to that.
Well, I'm really excited to talk to you, and I'm very excited about breath work. So you're going to be hearing from me again about that particularly. And maybe
Excellent.
I'll get down there one of these days, you know. Are you living there now?
Yes, I'm living here now, though. That may be transitioning shortly. We'll see. There's it's still up in the air, but yeah.
But so, we can find you by looking up R. Christian Minson and breathflow.com.
Yeah, if you want to, if you're interested, if you hear this podcast or this interview and breath work interests you, you want to know more, or you think you might want to do a Skype session with me or learn more about my 6-day seminar, which I'll talk about a little bit. You can find me at breathflow.com, the flow of the breath.com, breathflow.com. And that will give you a contact form, you know, so you can email me, ask me any questions, follow up on what services you'd like to do.
And one more question. If it's a 6-day seminar, how much breathing can I learn in 6 days? Is that learning the patterning, or like why 6 days?
Yeah, well, why 6 days instead of 3,006 days,
hour.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, again, this goes on for the rest of your life. So the 6 day seminar is really the pinnacle of the breathwork experience. Just like arrhythmia to like a week experience. You get transformed. That I say there's two different phases to this process. There's awakening and then there's mastery. So, you can awaken in one session. You can get an inspiration and all that, but that's one hour out of the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The mastery part takes, challenges you to take what you awaken to and start to apply it in every other hour of your life. And so, any program that's a longer experience usually gives you a deeper dive into, the understanding of the process, as well as, helping you get a head start on that mastery process, getting yourself into the habit of doing this kind of work,
mm-hmm.
Which ideally you'll continue on in some way, shape, or form for the rest of your days. And
I think it's very exciting, Christian. It's very exciting work.
Yeah, thanks. Well, the 6 day seminar will be held in San Diego area February. It's February coming up, 2nd through 7th. And again, you can find it in details at breathflow.com. But we'd like to say, depending on when this podcast goes up, there's an early bird special, ends January 8th. And but I'd like to also offer an additional special for anybody who would hear this that wants to sign up. Send me a message that said you heard this through this interview, Veronica and Twistle, and then I'll give you an additional $100 off. Even if the early bird ends, the Veronica and Twistle special will carry over till day before the seminar begins. So,
super! Wow, that's a good deal. Thank you for that generosity, and. It's really uplifting to think what we can do ourselves, and these tools are wonderful. So thanks, Christian. Our time is up, and I'm so glad to share with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's, it's always been a pleasure to come on and talk with you. I admire your work in sharing these different perspectives for people to get awareness around. So you keep up the good work, too, and
we'll talk
see you
again.
Next time.
Big blessings. Yeah. All right.
Blessings to you and everyone.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.